Once again, I'm Reiner, and we're picking up from the first hour. What we're doing is we're looking at examples of art that represents responses to the story of the binding of Isaac, or in some interpretations, the binding of Ishmael. And the handouts we have a variety of short source texts for various responses. But what we're moving towards is looking at doing visual midrash, artistic midrash. You don't have to be an artist to do visual midrash. You just have to be human. And I'll be giving some specific structure for doing that, working with very simple materials. So once again, to define midrash, midrash is essentially the spoken Bible, what many of us call the oral Torah. And according to my tradition, there were two Torahs, two Bibles given at Mount Sinai, the written Torah and the spoken Torah. And the spoken Torah is all the commentary, all the work, all the storytelling to fill in the blank spaces, the empty spaces, the question spaces in the Bible since the story of the revelation of the Bible. Torah in Hebrew essentially means the teaching. It comes from the same root as moreh or mora, which means teacher. Any of you who are teachers, you are a moreh or a mora, depending on gender. And yes, Hebrew is a gendered language, and there's some interesting work going on with that right now. In any case, you're making visual midrash. That's the idea, and you're responding to a source story that is very troubling and complex and has layers and layers and layers of meaning and response that are really seem really applicable to our lives now. And it's rather amazing that this story was put together in some form more than 2,000 years ago. And here we are still wrestling with it. And that tradition of wrestling with scripture, or what some people call God wrestling, I think is a really wonderful skill and process that's been passed down through the generations in more than one tradition, and something we can be proud of. So that's sort of just a little kind of ideology of context, you might say. Are any of you artists? I mean, do any of you make art on a regular basis? No?
I'm a quilter.
You're a quilter and you write?
Yes.
And, okay.
I play with art.
Okay. I would call that making art.
I make art.
Okay, how about you? Have you?
I'm a cabinet maker. I've been a cabinet maker for a long time. So
I think
that's with wood.
I think that applies.
Canoes.
So you're like Bezalel.
You
know Bezalel? Bezalel is essentially the cabinet maker and artist in the Bible. Mm-hmm. After leaving Egypt, God says to Moses, "So, make a tabernacle." And Moses said, "Huh?
Yeah.
I don't know how to do this." Hmm. And God, Moses has face-to-face conversations with God all the time. God says, "Hey, there's that guy over there, Bezalel." And God lists Bezalel's skills, and they happen to match up with the skills that were used to create the world.
Wow.
And there's a whole kind of workshop they can do around that idea about why art is godly. Hmm. But also the different kinds of intelligence that you bring to it. I remember my two of them are Chokhmah and Tevunah. And there are different kinds of skill and intelligence. Oh, Chokhmah, Tevunah, and Da'at. Da'at comes from the word to know, and that's the kind of artistic skill or skill about anything, knowledge that's passionate. Yeah.
The closest that would come to is singing in a choir.
Okay.
Is that considered art?
I would say so. I'm not a good singer. I really respect people who can actually hear a melody in their head and have it come out their mouth. I hear in my head just fine. But the brain-mouth coordination, brain-mouth-ear coordination, uh-uh. At least I sing better than my father. He was the worst singer I've ever heard.
Oh, I enjoy it.
So yeah, singing. Anyway, there's three kinds of knowledge that are relevant to the process of what we're doing today and to any kind of creativity. Da'at, which is the knowledge that is the most passionate. Chokhmah is the intelligence that is experiential and intuitive. And Tevunah is the analytical capacity to gather information and put it and break it up into parts and reassemble it. And those are three qualities that were used to create the universe, according to the tradition.
Okay.
And I say the tradition in a very broad kind of way.
Sure.
But
I understand.
In the wisdom tradition.
Sure.
Okay. So this is a quote from the Quran. And this I think is kind of parallel to what Adam spoke about yesterday in Vespers, and also a little bit in his presentation about Islam. And we talked in the handout. There's a couple of readings about the ram. And the role of the ram in this whole story. And the ram, there are many different ways to look at the figure of the ram. But in this case, this is from the 16th century Iran. In Iran, there's Islamic art tends to be very iconoclastic, because the strictures about representation of the human form, or sometimes any form, in Islam, in some practices of Islam, are even stricter than in Judaism. Judaism has kind of swung back and forth. Islam has some too. It depends what culture it's based in. But in Iran, they have a very strong tradition of illumination and representational art that has been less so since the Islamic Revolution, and a more stringent form of Islam being practiced. But they have a very rich artistic history. And here we see Abraham, and we see Isaac, or Ishmael actually. And then here the angel is actually delivering the ram. The angel from the heavens is delivering the ram. It's a very sprightly looking ram. here are some here's some medieval art, and I think these are interesting to look at. I think both of them are a bit disturbing. But here Isaac looks like he's pleading. He's a child, he's pleading, and Abraham has this large sword about to strike. And then the heavenly being is kind of reaching out in a very gentle sort of way, catching the blade of the sword, and while holding the ram by the neck. So, and then, and it's interesting because the gesture with the ram and the gesture with the bullet here, even they're different cathedrals, but there's an echo in these two gestures. And then here, it's interesting, Abraham is not raising the knife or the sword, but he is looking away, looking for instruction, responding to distraction, who knows. And then he's literally standing on the ram. The ram is right beneath his feet, right? So that is interesting. You're like, okay, look down, pay attention. Okay, I put this together a while ago, and this was in a particular kind of setting that I did this, and I'm not sure I would use this particular slide again after having been at Hilton Village. And this is obviously not conventional art. This is literally from the internet. But certainly the idea of Isaac being like the lamb, the sacrificial lamb, echoes the later story of Jesus, yes. So this commentator was saying that Jesus would function as the greater Isaac, willingly laying down his human life. So echoes of echoes. This is by Chagall, and this was during the period of the rise of fascism and its accompanying oppressions, and also of course harking back to what happened in the early part of the 20th century with the upheavals of revolution and pogroms in Eastern Europe. And Chagall, who had an Orthodox Jewish upbringing in a small town in what's now, I think, Belarus, often actually used the idea of the crucifixion to demonstrate his feelings about the oppression that was happening in this time.
Looks like Jesus is a rabbi, or at least a faithful with a talit. Looks like Jesus has a talit.
Yeah, he is wrapped in a talit. See, I'm going to skip this because it's in the handout, as is this. Okay, so now getting back to the akedah means the binding. It means binding. So the akedah of Isaac is the binding of Isaac, and it's echoed in Arabic. Coming up is Eid, the feast, Al-Adha. So you can see the similarity between the Arabic and the Hebrew there. So this is by Moshe Mizrahi, and here this is a quite traditional art form, and an example of an image of the ram. But here is Abraham wearing a talit. And when you wear a talit, when you're doing some kind of praying or action that's especially significant, wearing a prayer shawl, there's a custom of draping it over your head as well. And this is a slaughter knife that a ritual slaughterer would use. And you can see that Isaac here is a grown man. And here's the ram waiting. And meanwhile, down below, you see a reenactment of the story. Here's the donkey. Here's the servant taking a break, smoking his pipe. And then here Isaac is carrying the wood for his own sacrifice, and his father with the fire and the knife And by the way, the word that's used for a knife in the story is machelet, and it sounds like ma'achelet, which literally means what eats, what devours. Here's a more modern painting of the story. Such emphasis on the ram. And again, Isaac is a grown man here. And it's curious how, you know, the echoing of the gestures between Abraham and Isaac. This is from the 6th century, a depiction of the story. And again, they show the whole story. They show the donkey carrying the wood, etc. They see the ram actually tethered to a bush. Here is a representation of the angel and one of the manifestations of the angel, not very anthropomorphic form. Here's Avraham, or Abraham, and here's Isaac. So this is from the Beit Alpha archaeological site from the 6th century in Israel. And the Dura Yeriko synagogue from even earlier. And here, Abraham is leaving his tent. Here's the donkey. We're not seeing the actual sacrifice here. Who's this? Standing in the door of the dwelling.
We can't see
that. You don't usually see Sarah in artwork about this.
That's Sarah?
Yeah, essentially saying goodbye.
Wow.
Now, as we commented earlier, there's a gap between when Abraham departs with Isaac and Sarah stays behind, and the next time Sarah's mentioned, and the next time Sarah's mentioned, she's dead. And some Midrash says that she died out of grief on hearing what was going on. I'm figuring out what was going on. But yeah, this is unusual, and that shows kind of an intimate moment in a way, and an interaction between father and mother. And then of course, here is the animal. This is not quite the same story, but it's an interesting image that could apply to the story. In terms of the feeling you get from it. The child in the middle, and then the interaction between the angelic figure and the adult man. Here we see Caravaggio at work. The use of expression here and the various ways bodies are turning, I think is very interesting.
That's the angel that Abraham is looking at, the angel.
Yes, and Isaac.
Yeah.
I'm not sure where Isaac is looking.
Yeah.
The ram looks so human with the eyes, just its stance.
here's another version of Caravaggio, which has quite a different mood to it, with Isaac terrified. And Rembrandt. Two versions of the same kind of action, and really quite brutal, with the hand on the face.
Smothering, not wanting to hear the cries.
Yeah. And the angel intervening quite forcefully, forcing Abraham to drop the knife.
I don't see the ram in that picture. Is the ram there?
Either it's not, or I can't see this reproduction in sufficient detail. It looks like the ram is not there. So Rembrandt seems to be focusing on that confrontation between Abraham and the angel. But here's another take by Rembrandt. One thing about this, just checking something. This is from 1636. This is from 1645. If you know something about Rembrandt's life, you know that he had been extremely successful, a highly recognized artist, and then he went through a series of personal disasters. The loss of his beloved wife, Saskia, going bankrupt, being in a much changed personal situation, and his art changes. And it becomes a lot less slick and a lot more empathic. So presumably this is when Isaac is asking, where is the offering? And Abraham is telling him that God will provide for the offering. And then yet another version. And this is interesting. In the other workshop that I did, I showed an image of the sacrifice by Rembrandt, and the gesture of the angel is quite similar. I mean, the quality of the angel, that the way the angel's hands in this case are working, and the gaze of the angel almost are compassionate, mm-hmm. and the response of Abraham. Oh, actually, it was not the sacrifice of Isaac. It was Jacob wrestling the angel. Mm-hmm. But the way that the angel's gestures work, and the interaction between the two, between Abraham echoes what we saw in the angel and Jacob. There's almost kind of a very human interaction taking place between the two. There's a softness to it, even though, of course, it's a very disturbing image. But here, I'd say that there's a quality of, I need to do this from Abraham, and also, I'm terrified to do this, rescue me. And Isaac seems acquiescent. Maybe.
Where is he? I see him right there, finally.
Abraham is, in a sense, shielding him from what's happening.
And he's bent over his father as the altar.
And yeah, he's using his father as the altar, And, you know, he's kneeling, but, and yeah, we understand this is not a totally comfortable position, but it's a lot less stressful than some of the other positions we've seen.
Yeah.
And again, Rembrandt is still older here.
This is almost a prayer position for Isaac.
Yeah. Here is Chagall. And this is interesting. Chagall often did these really kind of clunky human figures. Isaac is kind of plump and objecting. We're not sure exactly what he's doing. He is adult. Abraham seems to be trying to do his best to follow through, and then there's this layering of the angel, who happens to be female, and the ram.
Kind of reminds me of an Oriental artist from China. Just the way the angel looks, and just kind of the way that the gaze is toward us as the viewers.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think of the artist's name. Something like Ho Kui.
I'm not sure. And Chagall doing the same thing 50 years later. And here, you know, the way he's using colors is interesting. Mm-hmm. And a lot of Jewish, Mediterranean, and Islamic traditions, blue is a color of life. And blue is a color that wards off the evil eye. Mm-hmm. And of course, here Abraham is being shown swathed in red. And I'd say that there's a lot of confusion going on here.
Yeah.
And Isaac seems asleep. Or in a coma.
Or dead.
Yeah. Now, as I mentioned earlier, there are some stories that said that Isaac actually was killed. These are stories primarily from the Middle Ages in Germany. We're getting quite abstract here. And this is one of those pieces where I'm thinking, I don't have a specific interpretation. This is an Israeli artist from the late 60s. And where the altar is, in a sense, sprouting, is blooming. Flowers and butterflies. This is Leonard Baskin, the altar, and there's a lot of ambiguity here. There's this very sturdy ram right in front of the action, straddling the action, like, look at me, here I am. I am, you know, it's kind of a very visceral ram, a kind of primal ram. And then there's this figure here, which seems to be, is confusing. Is it facing away? Or is it facing toward, but very robotic looking? And then there's the question of the wing forms. And here is the face of this form, the way it looks from the other side. Mm. And then here is the face of what we can assume is Isaac. Again, Isaac as an adult. Here are two pieces by George Siegel of the sacrifice.
Kent State.
And you can see the specific title he gave here. So he did this as a memorial for Kent State. He picked up, George Siegel happens to be a Jewish artist. He picked up on the story, and of course here people are wearing contemporary clothing. And this interaction going on, the way the gazes are working, and the bound hands. And he offered it to Kent State, and they wouldn't take it. So, you know,
they wouldn't take it?
They would not take it.
It's a commentary.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, a little too real. So you see it's at Princeton. And
I was working in Ohio when Kent State happened. For the Air Force.
And then here is a piece that is in Israel. And this is interesting because there's some questions I would have about what was going on in Siegel's mind, because 1973 was a disastrous war, the Yom Kippur War, when Israel had control of the Sinai and the area up to the Suez Canal, and under the leadership of Anwar Sadat, Egypt on Yom Kippur in 1973 crossed the canal and attacked. And then a little bit later, Syria attacked too. And it was the most disastrous war for Israel. They still were able to pull off, quote, winning, unquote, the war. But the numbers of casualties for a war that Israel had fought were immense. And it was the beginning of the Peace Now movement and many other things going on. It was a turning point for Israel at that time. And I'd be curious to understand what the context of this statue being in Tel Aviv was.
It almost looks like the figure seems androgynous, or maybe slightly female, and the pose with the open legs suggests like sexualized violence of rape.
That's interesting. Yeah.
Well, that's one way to make war.
So, here's another perspective. And this relates a bit to what we read earlier about the mothers that were in the Midrashic interpretation. God says, Abraham, take your favorite son. And Abraham says, I have two favorite sons. And each of them has a mother. And then there's the insistence on taking Isaac. But where are the mothers in this story? And of course, the idea that mothers have been told to do this so much, offer up their children, which is the origin, of course, of Mother's Day, which originally was a very political decoration,
right,
that mothers should refuse to do this, had to refuse to do this.
Wasn't it the mothers of some of the soldiers that had died in the Civil War?
Yeah. And we see over here that there's kind of a coffin-like shape and a figure. We can't tell if it's throwing itself on that shape in grief or if it's dead. And there's other ways that other interpretations. This is also the artist Menashe Kadishman. And here he's working with the idea of the ram. Just, you know, working with rams. But of course the rams have an outsized importance in this story. And those of you who came in just now, I'd urge you to read the poem by Yehuda Amichai in the handout. And look at this ram. It has kind of an accusatory quality or angry quality almost. What's going on here? And here's the sacrifice of Isaac. And this kind of refers back to those medieval Jewish interpretations that Isaac actually died.
He looks like a skeleton.
Yeah.
Or a skull.
And this is ambiguous here. So perhaps these are parents. Here's this bottle, this jar of flowers. This is ambiguous. Is it a donkey or a ram? It has more of a quality of the donkey, and the donkey is a symbol for the Messianic age.
Oh, really? Okay.
And maybe it's downcast. Maybe this death is not bringing the Messianic age any closer. Or maybe it's a sign of pushing your way through. You just keep going in spite. Here, there's simply the cry, Isaac, Isaac, which kind of echoes what God says to Abraham, where God says, Abraham, Abraham. And Abraham's able to answer, here I am. Can Isaac answer?
Or then another parallel would be Samuel.
Say more.
Well, in the temple, hearing the voice of God and thinking it's
okay.
The prophet.
Yeah. So this is in modern, in cursive Hebrew, it says Yitzchak, Yitzchak, on what looks like a banner. And then here's the procession going towards Jerusalem. And you see the donkey, you see the two men, and perhaps the servants. And we see a figure here, I'm not sure who that is. But as was mentioned at other times in the last couple of days, Mount Moriah, is the Temple Mount, and where the Dome of the Rock is, and that's where the sacrifice took place. That's where Muslims have a tradition of it being a place where Muhammad visited heaven. So many associations with that location. And here the city is all in tumult. It looks like an enormous windstorm is sweeping through. This place where they're going is all skewed. And then meanwhile, it looks like here's a flute player. And then this is the artist Samuel Bach, who I recommend looking up. And various ways that he approached it. And these are full of illusions. But look at the different, look at the landscape and look at the quality of the gestures and expressions. And of course, here's a ladder connecting the earth and the heavens.
Bringing in Jacob.
And so on. Yeah, well, there's genealogy at work here.
Yeah.
Also Samuel Bach, dress rehearsal with both boy and father, blindfolded. And Isaac's dream. And, we've spoken about how Isaac, in many readings, has PTSD afterwards, that he's traumatized for the rest of his life, that he doesn't have the effectiveness of many of his forebears or descendants. And I already read this. We already read it. I encourage you to read it. This is a poem by Yehuda Amichai. And this is something I did quite a long time ago. I did this in 1998. But this is the ram. And it's also a reference to Passover, because Zeruah, the Zeruah, is the is the lamb bone that's on the Seder plate.
Oh, wow.
But in this case, I did a picture of the ram climbing a ladder in the middle of downtown Tel Aviv. Again, you know, that there are rams everywhere if you just notice them, if you can notice them.
What is the Hebrew on the ladder?
It says, behold, a single ram.
Okay.
And that's from the Bible.
Yeah.
Oh, and I'm not going to deal with that one. It kind of complicates things. But so those are some of the pictures of what other artists have done. And you can see that there's a lot of complexity that they bring to it, a lot of different references, just as is the case with the readings that we were studying earlier. Does anybody want to stay and do a little bit of art? I know energy is a little low, but so let me give you an idea of what instructions I would give you if you were to do this. So it's pretty straightforward. We have varied covers of paper. I'm asking you to use ripped paper because the nature of working with ripped paper, I mean primarily, it has a tactile and emotional quality to it. But if you really want to use scissors, that's cool too. So tear or cut, and we do have some pens and stuff. I'm going to be flexible here. Five forms: Abraham, Isaac, the ram, and the presence of holiness or of God. And then you can add a sixth one at your discretion and put them together in a relationship and see what you can do. You can consider how your technique varies things, like tearing versus cutting.
So there's Isaac, Abraham, ram, angel, and presence of God.
Yeah. Abraham, Isaac, the ram, and the presence of God. One, two, three, four. Oh, I know what I'm leaving out. The altar.
Oh, not the angel, but the altar.
Well, okay. There's some things that are open to your interpretation. Abraham, Isaac, the ram, the altar, and the presence of God or of holiness. And a sixth one you can add at your discretion. That's up to you. Think about color. Think about how line can convey feeling. About how the technique you use, you know, ripping, cutting, etc. Can play a role in this. You might think about how visual and spoken puns work. We already know that there's lots of puns in the story. You know, the play between how awe and sight work together, for example. And also scale. Sense of movement and sense of scale or relationship in space. You know, something farther away from something else? Is it way back in a background? Are they in close proximity? Those are considerations. Does this make sense? Okay. We have materials here. We're going to work pretty quickly. Why don't we take about 25 minutes and see what we can do. Oh, and these are in large part drawn, but these are some things from yesterday that my wife Deb did. This was about angels. My wife Deb did and that I did. And my title for this is sort of like, well, hello, or boo.
Okay.
Can I see the images from this? sorry, I didn't realize.
Have you had, did you have a warm night?
No, I didn't realize I was so tired.
I think this is a lot of, you know, there's a lot going on, a lot of interactions. It's like every moment there's someone saying, hi! So much social energy is in there.
Yeah.
Well, there is. And what makes it more stressful for me is this, all these things that are at the same time. That's more stressful.
Yeah.
Like this morning, I was intending to go back to the one over there, but the Midrash drew me in.
No.
Kept me here. So I don't know. I wanted to do both.
So it's been interesting hearing how people are responding and how it's been exploring the whole idea of Midrash.
Yeah.
The angels watching you?
The angels kind of saying boop to me. Hello?
Boop.
Hi.
Boop.
Here's a mystery looking at you.
That's funny. Somebody in church one day said, listen to the whispers.
Listen to the whispers?
Yeah.
Maybe.
The guy left.
Left that way.
One thing I've noticed, one challenge with these particular kinds of exercises is that, and I'm not making a judgment about him leaving, that's fine, but I think a lot of people are kind of scared of it.
Well, if you don't have experience...
Scared of making art.
If you don't have much experience with it, yeah. I don't do very much art, but I recognize the value of it.
Well, I think I haven't done this for a bit. I think I need to rethink just kind of strategies for helping people deal with that anxiety about making art.
Yeah. You said you'd like us to do the ripping.
Well, we're a very small group. We can be flexible, but I guess what I'll say is different techniques can convey different feelings.
Oh, okay.
So the act of ripping something to make shapes, mm-hmm, is different from cutting, is different from,
yeah,
making a line,
okay,
is different from dragging a pastel.
Yeah.
In terms of the general feeling you get from it.
Yeah.
It's very quiet in here, so. There is a little music in honor of Multi-Faith Week. A little oud from Sudan.
Oh, wow, cool.
This is Hamza al-Din.
Uh-huh.
Well, we've got lots of scraps of paper here left from yesterday.
Oh, okay.
Thank you. Lots of sighs happening. Sighs and yawns.
All coming from. I like this.
Mm-hmm. What's that?
group to the cello.
Cello?
The cello.
A cello. Oh, there's something in that corner.
Oh, there's a cello.
Something.
I know I'm asking you to work really fast.
Sure.
Finish. Whoa. I'm impressed, boy.
You're impressed? Well, okay.
I would have never thought to do 3D there.
Well, I don't know. I'm kind of winging it. I've never really done anything like this before.
Well,
I'm trying to follow the formula representing the figures. I'm kind of borrowing from my thing yesterday. That was my symbol for the angels. It's like a three, but it's also like a bird.
So what's a three have to do?
Three is the Trinity. So it's kind of an angel. It's an emanation from God. So the three represents God. And it also looks like a bird, so that's my angel.
See, yours.
Well,
I just find you very interesting.
I dibble and dabble, Lynn. I dibble and dabble. I haven't done much art, you know. I find it fascinating when I do. Stopping the knife. This is representing the knife. This is Abraham, this is God. That's right.
I like it.
Let's see now. What am I going to do here for? I got to come up with a ram real quick. Ooh. Oh boy. Oh boy. Oh boy.
William and Julie.
Mm-hmm. put them?
Oh, why don't we just
clear
the table a little bit and
Yeah,
you want to come over and sit with us while we look at the artwork?
Oh. Yeah, I'd like to.
You can hang out there. You have free will.
Thank you. Oh. I'm working on my own. I'm just working. Well, thanks for having me too.
Sure. I think there's certain points at which nothing anybody can do about it, including you.
I was surprised when I realized I was sleeping.
Oh,
I didn't realize I was tired.
I have had moments when my eyes got awfully heavy. When I, in the middle of someone saying something quite interesting.
I'm putting your book on top of your file folder.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, sir.
Are you ready? I'm ready.
Okay.
I'm with Delta.
I'm impressed.
You're impressed?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Well, your flexibility and creativity and...
I'm trying.
All that good stuff.
Thank you. I'm trying.
Oh.
Okay.
Thanks. Okay. I want to bring it over here.
So you want me to put it over there?
Uh-huh.
Oh, okay. Here we go. Oh, boy. Okay.
Who goes first?
You sound like you're still really catching your breath. That's very creative.
Maybe.
I'll go first.
Okay.
So, I was really, I really appreciated when you began to remind us about scale and what dominates. So, this is the altar.
Oh, wow.
And I chose black.
Yeah.
For death, and I wanted to, I cut in it because death is also in some sense it's paradoxical, it's part of life, so I wanted the blue to celebrate life, and then I was remembering sacrifice and smoke rising, connecting heaven and earth as a kind of a temporal provisional axis mundi of mm-hmm. connection, so orange representing kind of smoke. White represents God, the presence of God. So even amidst death and sacrifice that is earthbound, there is a sense of holiness and presence of God in. Especially this grounding and kind of almost like representing kind of shale underneath. That even there, that's part of God's creative work. This is the ram. I wanted the ram to be kind of part of the tree, and also the curly horns kind of representing kind of the shofar and the sounding and how sound also connects heaven and earth mm-hmm. and radiates. This is Isaac. The yellow of the background in the tones of yellow of Isaac represents
the desert environment, and also how he is so absence by present and present by absence, that he's a liminal figure. Is he dead? Is he not dead? Sacrifice that almost was, that's kind of a liminal space. And also thinking about how the desert takes back its own dust to dust, ashes to ashes, so that. And then this is Abraham, who, when I chose red, to kind of link with the orange to the passion of obedience, the passion that can be kind of blinding in good and bad ways, consuming, so.
Thank you.
Okay. I chose black because it's kind of a dark request. Not that I always think of black as representing evil, I kind of resist that, but it's just like saying, yeah, this is a dark thing. So this big triangle represents God, and I chose a triangle because of the Trinity, coming from the Christian perspective on God representing the Trinity. This is Abraham. He's a triangle, a smaller triangle that's connected to God. This is his knife. It almost looks like a sickle the way it made it. And he's ready. The blue is Isaac, his son. This is the beginning of an altar. I was going to put a table over it, but I didn't quite get enough time. Of course, this is the ram in the thicket. Now, when Abraham swings the knife, the red is representing blood. The knife is red, representing the blood deed. The altar is representing blood. But here's the angel. It's like yesterday, it's an homage from yesterday. It's the three again, so it's an emanation from God, the angel, and the angel is stopping the knife, but it also looks like a bird, so the angel has wings, or it has an ability to fly, and it's stopping the knife, but it's not clear from this if he would have killed Isaac, the blood would be on him, and so I think I could have done more with this, but
there was somebody coming.
Well, no, I'm not going to say that because time is limited. We have other things we have to do this afternoon. I don't do this that much, so starting out, I didn't know if I could do anything that made any sense. So I did it.
Interesting. So the way you have, I mean, you mentioned sickle shape, but this strong zigzag.
It's a strong zigzag, like a, I meant it like a lightning bolt or something, like mm-hmm. And it's like a crooked line, like it's kind of a crooked deed. The blood is gonna be straight out. If he gets to that point, it's gonna be straight out. It's gonna be on him, Abraham. Mm. And here's his altar over here. Maybe that's symbolic. The altar's not quite finished. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's good, because maybe it was the angel saying, time's up. You don't have time to make that altar. We got a ramp for you right over here, Abraham, so I'll just cool your jets. So do you have anything to say?
It's interesting how jagged Abraham is. Figure Abraham is.
Jagged, well.
Sharp points.
Sharp points.
Yeah, and also kind of like sharp as decisive.
Decisive.
Like a sword, like this is what obedience demands, decisiveness.
Uh-huh. And this also reminds me of the Ramtan stepping through a portal.
Yeah,
I wanted to another.
Yeah.
Well, mine is fairly straightforward in a way. This was left over from the artwork someone had done yesterday with the fun shapes.
Uh-huh.
The blue represents holiness, and,
okay.
And of course there's the big eye, you know, vision.
Yeah.
I kept harping on that. But it's being pervaded, it's being pushed forward by the ram's head. The ram is red, you know, red for life and blood and primal life.
Yeah.
And it's the dominant thing here, that, you know, the force of the ram. It happens to be kind of in the shape of what's called a Hamsa.
Okay.
Which is seen also in the Middle East and different cultures. And Hamsa, the idea of Hamsa, which often has an eye on it, mm-hmm. is to ward off misfortune and to affirm. And it can be viewed as affirming. So this is like the horns of the ram are exaggerating the stylized thumb and little finger on a Hamsa. Hamsa just means five in Arabic.
Oh, yeah.
It's also called a Yad Fatima.
A what?
A Yad Fatima. Mm. And a Fatima. Okay. And so there's those combination of elements. This is the altar. It actually is a tradition that you don't make an altar with something made with iron. They can't be carved with iron.
Oh.
But this is the bush, which is in the foreground. The bush is the net, it's the catch-all. It's the green growing thing that catches all, and if you just look in the bushes, who knows what you could find, what possibility, what hope you might find, what sweet fruit you might find, or maybe some thorns, but nevertheless, and it's growing out of the altar.
Okay.
So there's an ambiguous character to the altar, in a way. The altar can be a source of affirmation of life or something quite different. This is Abraham, and it's half a figure.
Okay.
Because Abraham really needs to become a complete figure, a complete person.
Yeah.
And it's interesting how we describe Abraham in different ways, I noticed. But for me, I mean, I was thinking of the decisiveness and all that, but even more than that. And this is inspired by an idea I heard of Abel earlier.
Oh,
and Abel
oh,
is like
goodness.
A breath, a mist.
Abel
is
a mist.
But
okay.
This is Isaac as a mist.
Ah.
Bye-bye.
Thank you so much.
Bye.
Bye.
Nice meeting you.